radio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. It's the Blind Handyman Show. Hello there, neighbors. Welcome to show number 196, and this is May the 1st, 2007. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with blind in mind. Our host for the show, the one and only Don Shaw.
Talk about all this on this rainy afternoon, Thomas?
Oh, it poured down here a while ago.
Yeah, I feel better
about not being there and being at home today because it did actually rain today.
At least it rained, didn't it?
Is Don Patterson in the building?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am.
Well, hallelujah. Good to have you with
us
today.
I'm proud to be here. How are those rockets faring?
Oh, man, you know, I was going to look it up real quick, and I didn't have time.
You didn't watch the game last night?
Did they play last night?
I believe they did. I thought they were in Houston.
They were playing in Houston. That's what I thought. But I didn't stay up late enough. I'm getting too old to stay up late enough to watch them.
Ah, goodness, I thought they came on early.
Man, 9 o'clock, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, we'll find out later.
Oh, I may find out while we're doing the first segment here.
Okay.
Anyway, my name's Tom Houston, folks, but here he is, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here's Phil Parr.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Certainly welcome.
Wonderful to be here. We had Skype all fixed up, ready to go, but we didn't get to use it today because my studio computer's having a... I don't know what the problem is.
I've had a really bad time with this computer recently.
A tough time with this computer. I don't know what the deal is. I bought Prudential Scientific, got $400 of my money, and I'm still running JAWS in the demo mode.
Yeah.
Figure out how to do anything else with it. Anyway, how you feel, Tommy?
Well, I'm going to make it, I think. He said I could come back in 6 months, so that's a pretty good sign.
It is. That's a very good sign. If he didn't say come back next week, I think you're... probably in pretty good shape.
He increased one medication, and that was a blood pressure thing. Yeah. But other than that, I guess I'm going to live forever.
You're going to be taking blood pressure medicine as long as you live.
Oh yeah,
no,
that goes without saying. It really does.
It'll be like that anyway. Rainy old. We've missed what? What did we miss? 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
Oh Lord,
we missed 2 weeks.
Two weeks, I think. Yeah.
So our 200th show is not going to be on the 5th of May. It's going to be, heaven knows when it's going to be.
Since this is the 1st of May, I don't think it's going to be on the 5th.
But on your 0 and carrier 4.
That's right.
I calculate that it'll be maybe the 5th of May of 08.
Sometimes. We didn't really have a big celebration planned anyway. They hadn't sent the award down from ACB's main office.
That's right.
Should fall on the 29th. You know, I'm looking at a calendar.
If we do every show.
If we make every show from here until the 29th, that'll be the 200th show.
I'd like to have a quorum someday again.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I was going to say, I think that's highly unlikely, too, because I don't think we've made every show in the month.
Every Tuesday. Oh, yeah.
We may need to change our recording day,
Tuesday, it seems to rain. You know, after you check it on Thursday, and they'll say, Tuesday, showers, 80% chance of...
Right.
Showers as Tom leaves his house.
Every week, man.
Every week. And what the deal is.
It looked like the bottom was going to fall out when I left the art center down there.
And it's the only one they seem to get right, because yesterday it was supposed to rain. And
there you drop it.
Nothing. No, that's right.
It at my house, and it sprinkled maybe about at 8 o'clock last night, just a couple of drops.
But I never had one thing of rain. Nothing.
But anyway, today, they didn't miss it.
No.
Yeah, they were pretty on target today, I guess, weren't
they? Well, usually I'll stay at home and it won't rain.
Yeah.
Even though they're saying 40% or 60% or whatever.
And so you feel like a jerk, you know?
So, yeah, you feel kind of guilty because, hey, you could be down with the guys, you know?
Yeah.
But today I don't feel too bad because it just downpoured here a while ago.
You're down up, whooping it up with your mates. drinking cold beers and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll try again next week, I suppose. But 196, that's not bad if we all if we don't do another one, you know? That's,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Pretty good. All right, you got some of that exciting list mail?
I do indeed, yes, sir. Here's a guy that says our fireplace, which also serves as a room divider, is made of brick, which has been painted over with enamel paint. What's the best way to remove the paint to show the underlying brick?
Man, good luck.
That would be rough.
That would be. I don't know.
He suggests that he hire somebody to sandblast it.
Well, yeah, but boy, that's going to make a mess in your house, guys. Come on.
You would think so.
My God.
Who suggested the
sandblasting? Who said that?
Well, that was the guy that had the list mail here, the tune collector.
The what?
The tune collector, he calls himself.
Tune collector.
I don't know who that is.
He said, or do I just hire somebody to sandblast it?
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't think paint remover turpentine or something would take it off?
Man, you talk about it, then. I really have
to say that I don't know because not about paint. The reason why anymore, I mean, obviously, if they're in a house and already been there, that probably older type brick. But I know recently in our brickwork, they were kind of a little reckless with their mortar and kind of spread it on in places I didn't necessarily want it. Let's just say they were messy. And so yeah. I was going to take it off, and believe it or not, one of the little instructions that came with my load of bricks said, do not use muriatic acid. That's exactly what I was going to do. Now, I don't know that muriatic acid may not help his paint, but I would just have to, you'd have to experiment with some sort of paint remover, and I'm wondering if something like they strip, you know, the Formby's, might just loosen that up enough
like furniture
where you could
stripper,
peel it off.
But man, working in a house with that would be off. The fumes would just be.
The bricks are porous, and so that's going to be your problem, getting it out completely out of the bricks.
You couldn't just paint over it.
Well, I assume they want to get rid of the paint.
I believe he wants that natural brick look.
But I would, my suggestion would be to look around in your area, and I don't know where that is, and see about if the people who restore old homes and things, and see what they might suggest. Because I have no idea.
Somebody would have the absolute perfect thing, but I don't have any idea what it is.
One down.
This time, read the answer, Houston. Read the answer, Houston, and we will put
an answer to that one. I really didn't.
There weren't any answers.
Weren't any answers that I'm aware of.
Don't want you to read the answer.
I want you to read the answer, and we'll put the question.
See if we can divine the question.
Well, do you know anything about cleaning paintbrushes?
No,
y'all
cleaned
a few paintbrushes in your day, surely.
I haven't.
I throw mine away.
Well, Max writes, he says, well, the radio desk is finished. I think it's pretty good for a first project.
Yeah.
Anyway, I now have several brushes I used in the finishing process, which now appear to be useless because they're stiff with old dried finish. After applying each coat, I tried to clean them with mineral spirits, but they still became stiff after drying. Did I do something wrong, or are brushes only good for one use? If that's the case, I'll buy the cheapest brushes I can find. Those little foam pads with wooden handles are 79 cents a piece and are obviously meant for a single use. So what's the secret? I've checked the Handyman File site, but didn't find anything about cleaning brushes. Regards, Max.
So they're 79 cents a piece, and you want to clean them.
I think that's
Well, if he used
he's talking about buying the cheap ones next time, but cleaning the expensive brushes this time.
If you used oil based paint, obviously you could clean them with a paint thinner. Most people pour up a little bucket full of the thinner and put the brush down in there, and then later on you can wash it out like with soap and water, just good warm water and soap. But after you let it get the thinner out. However, Max, this is not like the cat box you kept around for 17 years. You're supposed to clean those brushes right when you get through with them. Don't lay them around for a day or two.
Now, what was this about the cat box?
You remember he had the 17-year-old cat that died and was wondering how to get rid of the odor, and we said, well, you've got to throw that cat box away, too.
That'll usually do it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, he says here, after applying each coat, he tried to clean.
Yeah, he said he did it. He did it with mineral spirits. I would use paint thinner. I guess that's similar. The spirits is kind of similar. Let them soak real good, and then, you know, like say in just latex paint, you can use just good warm soapy water, soap and water, and then I always soak mine overnight in water. After I clean them, I just put them down in a bucket of water, and then kind of. But if you use the spirits and you kind of or paint thinner and really work it over with your hands real good, I mean, make sure you get in past the first layer of bristles, kind of flare the brush out and get down in there real good, and then just let it sit over after you've cleaned it good. Then put it in a bucket of paint thinner and just let it sit there till, and then rinse it out good with. That's my suggestion. And people, I know they can be clean because these painters use very expensive brushes. I mean, $17, $18, $20-something a pop.
Really?
And they guard them with their lives. So,
yeah,
but I'm like you. If it's a one-time deal, you can buy cheap paint brushes, $1 something a piece, not just the foam rubber ones, and then I throw them away. I use them.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Use them and chunk them. Well, yep. I don't paint, so I have no input there. But glad we could help you, Max. Pathetic, isn't it? Go ahead.
Here's a guy. He's getting. He's thinking about getting one of these robotic lawnmowers.
Yeah.
But he has some hills on his property, and he needs to know the percent grade of the slope of the hill. Can anybody tell him how he can figure this one out?
I know there's several good answers that have come.
I didn't print those. I read some of those, but this was so, you know, it just caught my attention, and I thought maybe one of you guys could.
Well, I mean, unless you have a, what does a transom do?
A transit. You'd have to have somebody shoot a grade on it.
That's what I was going to say. Shoot a grade, and they could tell you.
But I wouldn't know how you could do it yourself. I think there's some way you could put something at the top of it and get the shadow. And
yeah, there's been some formulas batted around on the list, but I don't know right offhand.
If the sun is in the sky at a certain time of day and you measure anyway, I would. Who cares? Why do you want to know this?
You know, I have the 30%. You know, what is the robotic lawnmower won't climb. I guess it's a certain.
I think it's got to be relatively flat for it to be able to do its thing on your
certain amount of hill that it just it won't climb. I guess.
Pull a certain grade, I guess.
But, you know, you could have the surveyor come out. He'll charge you, you know, $150. He'll tell you exactly how much fall you got. You know, so it'd be no problem.
But I would
think
on one of those, pretty much, unless you had a flat yard, and I think it even says it on the site, pretty much flat land, that it just probably won't work. But it just, I don't know if it'd even be an option, would be the deal.
Well, surely a slight hill, we wouldn't, you know, not a hill like y'all had over on Allendale.
Yeah.
Damn near straight down. Yeah. It was, my God, I never saw anything like that.
It absolutely wouldn't have worked over there.
I wouldn't have got hurt there. Yeah. Just,
over on Allendale, goodness.
You remember those hills, houses built up on those? You know, around back, it was nice and flat. Boy, the driveway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If we'd had any ice at all, you wouldn't have got up the driveway.
Oh, no. No way.
Because it was...
quite a grade there now.
It was high grade. But you know, to know what grade it was, I have no idea how you'd know. I guess you could... I don't know. You know, how could a blind person do that? How could a sighted person do it?
They were talking about different formulas and everything on the list of... Something to do with squaring something, like if it was like a 10 you were looking for, the lowest number to square closest to 10 would be 3, would be 9, and then the next number would be 4, which would be 16, and somehow they were connecting the dots with all that stuff, and I thought, well, I don't even understand that, so I'm going to just read it to the handyman.
You figured the handyman would know?
The handyman has set me straight.
I know what you figured. You figured they'll never know this. I'll get this question.
They won't have a clue.
Sure enough, you're right. We don't. But I mean, I don't know how a sighted person would do it. You'd have to know some measurements. In other words, you'd have to. There'd have to be some instrument laid on that grade before you. You know. You know, if you could see perfect, how would you do it?
I don't know. Good question.
It seems like to me it'd just be a guesstimate.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd look at the flat land and look at the slope and say, now, looks like about 45 degrees to me.
I'm like that. Why does he want to know?
He's getting this lawnmower, this robotic lawnmower.
Well, we're telling him it won't work. If there's any hill at all, it won't work.
I think it just
won't work. What the lawnmower says, it won't climb anything higher than a 30 degree grade. So he's got a 32 degree grade. Or if he's got a 29 degree, it's not going to climb it either.
Flatland only.
But there would be a way to do it. The transit, I didn't get the deal if it was one big the way his lot is, or he was talking about hills in his lot. If he's trying to figure out on each individual hill, you know, you could take a get to the top of what you think is a hill and run a level string line out and then run a perpendicular something down to what you thought was the bottom of the hill, and then you've got a triangle, and you could do the A squared plus B squared.
You could do it that way.
But my God.
If you ran a level string out that had the reading on it, and you put a stake out there, and you got it exactly 20 feet out, and you got it level.
Yeah, and then you did a down, and it was 2 feet down, and or, you know, 5 feet out and
then
2 feet down. And
then you know what the two angles you could figure. Yes.
What's the hypotenuse of the...
Yeah.
and then call us. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Don't give us this
stuff. It was paid to be educated anyway to figure this out.
Well, you've certainly... just amazing how many people we help. You
see me standing there saying, well, it looks pretty steep.
Yeah. Well, he's afraid he'll buy the lawnmower and it won't work. That's what he's worried about.
That'd be the hell of it, wouldn't it?
If he bought the lawnmower and it wouldn't cut your lawn.
Wouldn't that be a bummer?
I haven't bought a robotic lawnmower, but it sounds to me like it would be expensive.
I've got news for him. The grade on his hill is probably the least of his worries. It's probably the battery in the mower that won't work and everything else, unless it's solar-powered.
I don't know. Do they work? I mean,
I haven't had anybody that.
We need to talk to a guest about that. If anyone
has one,
right?
I know I have a couple of friends that have these robotic vacuum cleaners that love them in the house. They just kind of turn them loose when they're going out the door to go to work and come home, and when it runs into something, it backs.
Yeah, I've heard those do work.
And you can program it to just do a room or a couple of rooms. You know. Well, Emily's daughter's got one, and it's called a Roomba.
A Roomba, yeah. Yeah.
And
she
loves it. It's just like one of her pets. I mean, she holds it in the same esteem that she does her dogs. I mean, you know, she's got Rover and then Roomba.
What, does it have a timer on it or something?
It's battery powered is all I know, and
I bet the dogs have gone nuts with it.
You can program it for certain things. I guess they make more expensive, you know, they probably got some that have more features than others. I've never seen one.
The Roomba.
But
it would be great to be a fly on the wall watching the animals around it.
Yeah, especially
a
cat.
Kidding.
Can you imagine a cat trapped in the same room with that sucker? Well, one of them wouldn't come out alive.
We'd assume that the robotic lawnmower works about the same, right?
I've heard, they had some that you had to put out the wire. Underground to tell it.
We read about those.
Yeah.
Then I've heard some that had, you know, were battery powered, but then some are solar powered, and they just kind of crank and go on their own, and they're supposed to be able to stop if a kid comes around, or you know, or stop if something like a pet gets too close.
How do they know if your lawn needs mowing?
I think they just do it at random anyway. I think they just go, kind of like your pool cleaner, you know, in a sense.
Yeah.
It just kind of.
It just goes. I mean, it doesn't have any idea what it's doing.
Yeah.
That thing just takes off.
Yeah, it does. It just kind of rolls around. You got any more?
Well, I've got one here, but you're going to get into too much for the time you've got.
You think so, huh?
Yes, sir. It's a long one.
All right, you want to save it for next week? What time is it?
Probably so.
Yeah, it's time to break.
Oh, it is. It's time to do it.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to go, Tommy. And
well, it was nice.
Hope and pray that you, next week. Can come and be with us.
I hope so.
Love to have everybody in one big gathering again. Anyway, I'll talk to you before between now and then.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks, sir. All right.
Hey, Tom.
We're going to unlatch this little thing here and go get our guests on the line. Be back in just a minute. Don Pat and Don Shaw, and I'm Phil Parr. We're the Blind Handyman Crew.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be. there is still a chance that they will agree. There will be an answer. Let it be. 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 There will be an answer. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be.
Version of that song that is, but it's who is that? What?
Sucks.
You didn't like it, huh?
No.
I guess you didn't like it. He said it. Okay. All right. Let's fade that off, and here we are. The Blind Handyman. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? Old rainy, nasty day. We're gathered here in our little studio, and if I can find the right control here. Mr. Jim Smith, how are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Well, we're doing all right for a bunch of old blind guys sitting around having a cold beer and doing the Blind Handyman.
There you go.
Where's your home?
Well, I'm located in Webb City, which is just north of Joplin.
Missouri.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. We got that straight. Joplin, Missouri. That's what's the capital of Missouri? Jefferson City's the capital, isn't it?
Yes.
I never can remember that. How long have you lived there? You lived there all your life, or?
No, I was a transplant from New Jersey, and I came down here. I just had to get back to America, and it became just too expensive to live up there.
Yeah. Trying to get back to America.
That's becoming a foreign country up there. Yeah. The corporate people have taken it over and pretty much destroyed it, but...
You're talking about New Jersey?
Yes.
Well, we didn't have too many listeners in New Jersey anyway.
That's right.
And what we had, we just lost, but that's all right. We can afford it. We can afford it.
That's right.
You didn't care for New Jersey too much, huh?
Well, I grew up there, and it was a good place at one time, but people, the corporations have taken over
and written
laws that just aren't just, and you get too many people who just think that theirs don't stink just because they got a six-figure income, and I wasn't raised that way, I said, it's time to get out.
Time to move along.
I tell you, the problem with places like that is just people. If it wasn't for people, everything would be all right, I suppose.
Yeah.
So you decided to move to Missouri and get away from it all.
I did.
Is that right? What is your level of vision?
Well, I'm total.
Totally blind. Have you been that way all your life?
Yes.
You were born and raised totally blind.
Right.
What school? Did you go to New Jersey School for Blind, or did you go to public school?
Well, I went to New York Institute for the Blind.
Okay. Yeah.
And because the school for New Jersey is not that great. They send a lot of their students out to states that have just have better schools, and so I went to I started out mainstreamed,
okay,
and then went to New York Institute for a while, and then went to Maryland for a while.
Yeah,
so that was and then finally got sprung from there and went back to being mainstreamed and finished up my education there.
What was that?
My friend in the background is.
Oh, I thought it was an animal of some sort.
No, I'm just coughing.
Well, you wanted to talk about splitting or cutting wood for a wood stove.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing that for a couple of years. I started that up in New Jersey to try to make ends meet until I could get out of there because, you know, when everybody else has got a six-figure income, taxes go up.
Yeah.
Prices of everything go up, and you got to try to make ends meet.
Man, what a tough way, though, to make a dollar.
So
that would be.
It would be. So you were trying to cut wood, firewood for a living?
Well, no, just cut it to keep my house, or at least supplement it, and keep the bills down was what got me started on it.
Uh-huh. Just for grins right now, what is the price of wood? A cord,
yeah, what's
in
a cord
New
of wood
Jersey?
Go for?
In New Jersey, it was going for like $140 a cord.
Okay, see, that's not too far off from here. In Texas,
about
$100
like ours,
a quarter, $120,
yeah.
$110 if you're real lucky.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so, is that for a cord or a rick?
Yeah, it's just a cord.
Cord.
Yeah.
Full 4x8 by or whatever.
But we're in wood country here,
four
too.
4x8 by
yeah.
2, yep.
Yeah.
What is a rick?
That's something that I learned about when I came down here to Missouri. It's supposed to be 4x8x16, but they often aren't. That's so they'll fit in a stove, you know, a lot of the stove.
20-inch.
Yeah.
Will take 16-inch pieces.
Yeah. I never heard of a rick. I've heard of a cord of wood, but I missed another term.
Heard of that until I came down here.
How did you cut wood, firewood, with a chainsaw?
Well, I do not. Now, there are blind people who are crazy enough to use chainsaws. I'm not that crazy yet.
Yeah, I understand that.
A lot of people say I'm crazy. You've got to be crazy to have a wood stove. And I said, no, you don't have to be, but I'll tell you what, it sure helps.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, wood stoves is a wonderful way to heat.
Oh, yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
There's no question.
Great way to heat.
We went to Colorado, and I looked at wood stove. I thought, that'll never heat this house. Boy, an hour later, I realized it absolutely would.
Yeah. A lot of heat.
Yeah, so you cut it with just a cross-cut saw? Or?
Yeah, I got a bow saw.
Bow saw?
Yeah. They're a little bit easier to use than a cross cut.
Yeah, I've got a bow saw, and it takes a while to cut through a big old.
Take a while though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not that much longer than with a cross cut, really.
Yeah. I believe if I was doing it for a living, I'd figure out a way to use a chainsaw.
I probably would too. If you were going to cut enough of it to sell. Make a living out of. You'd have to do something different than that.
So, Jim, before you can cut it, let's start off with, you've got to have a supply. Where would you say you get most of your wood to cut?
Well, I had a little piece of land up in Jersey that, you know, was hard to keep, but that's what that's what I was born and raised on, and we had a few trees there, and whenever one would come down, it got cut up.
Right.
And so that kept me going enough that I had enough wood to heat. Had to leave some behind when I left there. I didn't really want to do that, but...
Yeah, it's hard to move wood, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was about to take at least a pickup load of it with me. After I put all that work into cutting it, I did not want to have to leave it there.
By hand.
Right.
It's a lot of work.
Cut it by hand. But there's always, if you got property, 3 or 4 acres, we got 7 acres, and there's
always
trees. There's always a tree coming down. I mean,
somewhere.
There's always, course, we have a lot of pine, and we don't like to burn any pine in the fireplace because it messes it up too bad.
Yeah.
But we've got some hardwoods, and there's usually, every winter there'll be at least one that we get to cut up and use.
Yeah. Some will come down once every year.
Yeah.
Well, people will, a lot of times down here, a lot of people don't heat with wood right in this area, but a lot of times things will come down, and you'll see them sitting out waiting for the trash to pick them up, and you just, I've asked permission before you take them, but you can take them for nothing and just cut them up. Because my stove isn't that big. It's Vermont Castings, one of those little Aspens.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of those.
Yeah, I have.
And, they're a good little stove.
Is it an airtight stove?
Oh, yeah. That's what you want to have, because they burn wood so much less.
Oh, yeah.
So much less wood. And the thing with an airtight stove is if you get a little bit of creosote and it catches, with an airtight stove, you don't have to worry about a flue fire, because if you shut the draft down, it's going out.
Yep.
That's right.
If,
yeah.
If it can't get air, it can't burn.
And about 20-something years ago, in a former life of mine, I had a little frame house. Well, it was like three bedroom and two bath. And a small kitchen, and you know, kind of a country kitchen, dining room and kitchen together, and then a living room. And I had I bricked a corner of the room and made a little hearth down there, and I set a little airtight stove, and buddy, it would heat the whole house.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Comfy. And the neat thing about the airtight stoves is, you get ready to go to bed, you damp it down. And you get up in the morning, open the damper, and you've got probably half a log that just didn't burn up.
The wood's still ready.
And it'll just crank right. I'd throw a little kindling in there, and you're going again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cooked a pot of pinto beans on the top of it many times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've cooked once or twice on this one. Not very much. Not very often, but... You can always keep a kettle of water hot for coffee.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that was, in Patterson's case, that was a different life and a different wife.
Oh, is that what, okay. Yeah, that explains it.
That was a long time ago. We don't talk about her too much. We have no idea where she is. But anyway, that little wood stove, I haven't had much experience. I had one in my shop, but it was a little too big, and I ended up getting rid of it because it would have, if I'd fired it up, believe me, it would have, wouldn't have been able to stay in there. But like I said, we had one in this little. We went to Salida, Colorado, took the kids skiing, and that was my first. And they burn, I think, aspen up there.
Yeah, there's lots of that kind of wood around there, I think.
And it's hard on your hands. I mean, it's not the kind of wood you want to handle with your hands. What kind of wood do you burn in Missouri?
Well, I'm in New Jersey. I burnt whatever I could get a hold of, and that's pretty much what I do here.
Yeah.
But
anything but pine, huh?
Well,
yeah.
you gotta, what you do with that is a couple fires down the road, you get a good hot fire going, and you just burn your stack out and shut it down, you know, tighten it down a little bit, and all that creosote goes up in. And if you got a chimney cap, a good one, like I've got, no sparks are going to get out there. Just warms up the stack.
I'm not worried about sparks. I'm just worried about getting a bunch of resin up in the chimney and it catching fire. I don't want that to happen. You know,
one time, Jim, in the same stove, I was remodeling or finishing this house, but I did a little remodeling to get to where I could finish it, and I took off an interior door, a hollow core door, and I was sitting there and I said, wonder what I'll do with this door. Well, I put some of it in the wood stove. Yeah. Son, I had a rocket ship. Cut a chimney.
It roared.
I thought the house was fixing to set
sail. It sounded like a train coming through the house.
And even when I closed the damper, buddy, it lit up the sky for a while.
Wow.
As soon as that thing starts to take off, you shut it down. Otherwise, it will get to be more than you want.
Yeah.
Real quickly.
Well, they talk about blind people's fires. I've had a fireplace in the house for, you know, I guess 40 years, and I've never had any problem. Really, if you're pretty careful and don't burn a lot of stuff that causes it.
That you shouldn't.
Well, in 91 we built this house, and I had the chimney cleaned in 2001, and the guy said, I don't know what you burn, but there's a lot of stuff in this chimney, but keep doing what you're doing, because it's just ashes. I mean, it's not. There's no resin.
Yeah, that's good.
I've used rich pine. You know, are you familiar with rich pine, Jim?
That I'm not familiar with.
Rich pine is the bottom of a pine stump where the resin has somehow collected down in there, and you can take this rich pine and you get a little splinter, but you can light it with a match. And believe me, it's the best kindling in the world. Remember Shaw showed
you?
Yeah. You can light this old rich pine. For getting your fire going, there's nothing better, and you don't need much of it. Just a little stick of it, and it'll burn long enough to get those damp logs going. And that's how we start fires here is with what we call rich pine.
Well, if you've got a little, if it's damp, it's going to take a while to get it going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
You gotta get it cut and dried out pretty well. Now, damp stuff will burn. You put a little bit of kindling with it, it'll burn.
Yeah.
But it's not going to throw out the same kind of heat.
Like you said on the phone, that's a good reason to cut your firewood this time of year. And then by the time the winter rolls back around, your wood should be seasoned.
What was your statement, Pat? Who cuts
his wood in the summertime is warmed by it twice.
Yes.
Well, if you cut it in the cold, you're warmed by it twice, too. But if I'm out in the cold too long, I lose, you know, your hands get cold.
Right.
After about 50 degrees, 40 degrees, your hands get cold, and you can't feel what you're doing out there too long.
Yeah.
You can't stay out there too long. And so you want to get it in. That way you're not trying to, in the middle of winter, you're not trying to pick up a cold piece of wood when it's 20 degrees or
down to
single numbers. You can't tell whether it's a good, solid, heavy piece of wood or whether it's a piece of not very good wood that you probably shouldn't be putting in there that's just frozen and damp.
Yeah.
So in your wood, like you lay in your supply now and kind of when you can get it and stuff, how do you store it?
I've got a woodshed now. I had an old garage that was sort of not safe enough to put cars in anymore, but I put wood in there.
Okay.
Up there, but here I got a metal storage building, and it's got vents in it so that air can get through. That's the way it was built because it was designed originally as a horse barn. A horse stable. And I just put that up, and it gives me a nice dry place to put the wood.
Okay.
And when you put it in there now, and it will slowly dry out in the summer, you go in there on a hot day, you can smell it curing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love to smell it.
So about how many cords a season do you burn, give or take?
Well, I just got it set up this year. Now, it's a little different down here because a lot of times you're only burning one fire a day because it's too warm during the day. You really don't need it.
Right.
But probably burn, not all that much, because one thing I have to do, I consider safety first. Now, I've heard of blind people that say, well, get a pair of welder's gloves, and that way you can feel around in that fire, and you'll know how much, and you won't burn through them. You burn through them, and you go through a lot of welder's gloves. Now, of course, you go through a few pairs of them in the season, and you're back to square one cost-wise. You might as well burn gas.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never used them because I know stories where people have, those gloves have gotten hot, they've started to smolder, people have pulled them off,
not good.
Set them down, and next thing they know, their house is going up.
Yeah. Well.
And or it's on its way, and I've had to put out fires that careless sighted people have started. I've never had to put out one I've started, but I had to put out. When you have a mother that has Alzheimer's, occasionally you might have that. I don't like putting out fires when you can't see. It's nerve-wracking business.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I have been known to go to the kitchen and get a couple of oven mitts when a log rolled out. I've done that before.
Yeah.
Threw the log back in there with a pair of oven mitts.
That's why. Oh, yeah. Well, I'd grab them and do that, too. But that's why I have... Only once did I ever have a little piece roll out, and it was a little bitty piece.
Yeah.
Of course.
I've had a couple close calls when things are just getting started, but that's why I chose, when I was shopping for stoves and I looked at the Aspen, that's why I chose that particular stove, because of the way it's designed. It's long and narrow. The wood fits all the way back in there, then it can't roll out.
Yeah, it can't go anywhere. That's
once you close the door, it can't roll out.
Jim, is the stove, as you're facing it, facing the door, is it long left to right or long front to back?
It's long front to back.
Aha.
Okay.
That's the way.
Slide them in.
Yeah.
That'd be the way.
Slide them in the front, and they slide to the back.
To the back, right.
It's about 16 inches from front to back. It'll take a 16-inch log, and it's about 10 inches high and about 7 inches wide.
Okay.
And that much wood, I can get 8 or 10 hour burn out of that much wood.
Well, my, I would think so. Yeah.
Gosh, I think the one I had was a front to back like that long, but I it would take a 22 or 23 inch piece of wood, and
yeah, the old Fisher stoves would do that.
That might it may have been. I gave somebody $50 for it. I don't even know if I ever knew what brand it was.
Yeah. Of course, I'm just burning wood in the fireplace, and sometimes I get a little overzealous and want to have a little more wood in there than I need. And once or twice, I've had a log roll, kind of never out in the on the floor, but just roll out of the cradle and be laying on the hearth, and I didn't want it like that. So I'm
not really
smoke up your house nicely then.
Get up those oven mitts and throw it back in. Of course, my wife, 2 winters ago, started a nice fire and had it going. The house was filled up with smoke. She had forgotten to open the damper. You know,
that would be right.
Wouldn't want to bring that up.
I hate it when that happens.
I have actually never done that. When I start forgetting things like that, then I'll have to think maybe I'm too old and senile and maybe ought not to be doing this anymore.
Shouldn't be starting a fire in the first place.
What? Right, right.
Did you tell us your age, Jim?
No, I'm 53 now.
Okay, well,
52 now. Well, you're a little younger than Don Shaw. How old are you, 54, Shaw?
5'4".
Don is 5'4". Yeah. I'm 66, and Don Pat's 64, so
you got
we're all getting old.
Yeah, we are. Hell of a thing.
All right.
Yeah, isn't it? Well, it's not for wimps, you know, getting old.
No, it's getting old is a man's job.
But I tell you, I admire your grit cutting that with a bow saw and
project,
supplementing your thing, because I'll tell you what, I use electricity to heat, but there's nothing like a good airtight wood stove.
Yeah.
Well, like a friend of mine up in Jersey said, he was one of the last of the Mohegans that enjoyed the wilderness. and he said, your house can get pretty cold. You can let the house get pretty cold as long as you've got a warm spot to go to and get warm back up. And if you come in out of the cold, there's nothing like having that little nice hot spot to go to that will penetrate, and the heat goes through to your bones and takes all of that chill out right quick.
That's having that wood stove to back up.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Jim, so we're going to go and let you get back to cutting wood, and we'll talk to you sometime this fall.
All right.
Thank
Sounds
you, sir.
Good.
Nice to meet you, Jim.
Nice meeting you.
All right, Jim, last name is Smith?
Smith, yeah.
A wood cutting from Missouri.
Man, that was good.
Both saw. I hate them.
What a project. That would be.
I tell you, man, think about trying to cut a 6-inch log even, and that's a good size.
I don't want
to
hear it.
Yeah, Patterson, remember the old days back when we were young and we ought to cut some firewood and make some extra dollars here.
Well,
man, what a project that was.
Let's just take a short break and come back in just a second. We got 2 or 3 little things we're going to talk about, wood cutting among them. Hang on.
Figure it out. Yeah, I mean,
I think we'd lost focus here, did you?
No, it's, I thought he had a cheap phone.
No, that's you that's got the, that's not Houston's got the cheap phone.
I got a bad one too, man.
We're going to go from woodcutting to plumbing in one of Don Shaw's famous plumbing projects. I hate to get into plumbing, but
yeah,
he did.
Yeah, me too.
You got into it, and what happened? Tell
plumbing
us
is not one of my favorite things to do, by the way.
You had been talking about changing that faucet that I put in.
Yeah, I talked about that on the last show a little bit, in fact, and that's been, what, 3 or so weeks ago now?
Yeah, it seems
and,
like it.
I said, well, the sink had just recently been out, not a year and a half ago, when the folks replaced the countertop.
Yeah, that would have been the time to do it.
Yeah, that would have really been the time to do it. But, of course, back then the faucet worked great. It wasn't a problem. But I thought, well, the faucet and sink had just been out, so shouldn't be any big deal to take out. I may just take out the old faucet. It should be easy to do, and I'll keep the old copper pipe and put in the new faucet and hook up the old copper pipe to the new faucet.
No.
Well, wrong. I was definitely wrong about that one, and I knew it the first 5 minutes into the project, because when I tried to take the first pipe loose from the sink, you know, of course, copper.
Yeah.
I when I tried the hot water one, in fact, was the first one I tried, and there was talk about getting down on the floor. And my problem was, you know, you can reach up under the sink and then up. That's the problem. You got to reach under and then up the back of the sink to get to the pipe that you need to unloosen.
Yep.
And the problem was, with one hand, you can reach it fine, but not with two. That's the big kicker. In order to feel of the nut and to get a wrench on it, you all needed to reach it with both hands, of course. So that does in like putting your chin on the top of the cabinet, like we've talked about before, and reaching back with one hand to unloose when you have to use both hands. So I knew right away, man, I was messed up at that point.
I think last time I did something like that, I ended up laying down and just doing it, look, with arms over my head.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I basically ended up having to get into the cabinet is what I did.
Yeah.
And got down on my knees and then really bent down just as far as I could and got my shoulders and neck into the cabinet. That's the only way that I can end up reaching that with both hands.
And did you take the trap loose first or not?
No. I said, well, I'm going to take it loose up at the sink,
yep,
you know, the copper pipe. And what made this project so bad was, too, that this faucet has the sprayer hose.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just an extra fitting you've got to take loose in order to bring the faucet up top of the sink. You know, because the hose is too big to go through the hole of the sink if you don't.
Yeah.
And I ended up cutting the hose. And I figured it'd be quicker just to cut the hose rather than trying to get the damn thing off. I tried to get the fitting off for a little while, and it just wouldn't.
So you just sawed the hose in two.
So I just
I
cut
did
the hose
away
off
with my sprayer hose because it was leaking to start with, and so I just had to plow. It's disconnected.
Yeah, sometimes they're more trouble than
the new faucet have one on it.
The new one has one on it.
So the old one just cut loose.
So
why not?
No reason not to. But man, talk about some tight fittings. And I had the little tool, whatever you call that tool, that's just for loosening, unloosening, or, you know, just depending on how you flip it.
It's a long kind of a bar thing, and it has a wrench. It has a wrench on the side of it, kind of.
Yeah.
And it has a handle down at the bottom.
Yeah.
And if you get it just right, it'll do it. It'll do your
flip
job.
Flip it according to what, you know, whether you need to loosen or tighten, whatever you're doing. But, man, even using that, I guarantee you, and it's sort of like a pipe wrench. You pull it in the put it on the pipe in the direction that you're going, and then pull it the opposite direction, and it tightens up. But even with that, man, it was intense.
Yeah.
And then the problem is, after you get the fittings loose on the copper pipe, the other problem was then the sink was so old that now when you put a faucet on a sink, you know, it uses the little plastic fittings that screw onto the pipe first and up against the bottom side of the sink, and then
and
you put
a thumb screw.
Yeah,
a
like thumb screws.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, back then, these were metal, mm-hmm, and they were like, you might kind of rusted almost onto the sink.
I'm sure
the
they
bottom
were
of the sink. And man, this tool or no tool, and the problem is, I couldn't reach them with anything. I mean, they were just, even with some channel lock pliers, you know, none of that. You just didn't have room to turn them. You could get a pair of channel lock pliers on on top of it, but then you couldn't turn it, would be the problem.
You didn't break down and call a plumber.
No, I didn't. I didn't call a plumber, but, man, I finally got them. I finally got them loose with that other tool, that bar tool. But, man, that was a project now. I guarantee you that ended up taking hours. Ended up having to make a double trip to our favorite store, Abney & Sons. And
they love to see you coming.
I had to buy an adapter that went from a flare fitting to a compression fitting to put on the sink, you know, on the valve part of the sink.
Right.
And it just, man, plumbing is just not my favorite kind of project.
I was trying to think. I was working at what then was KIPR, and that would have been Terry's mother had just. That was probably 82 when I put that faucet on. So, yeah, I imagine it was rusted.
It had been there for a long time,
A long time.
Whoa. Yeah, that plumbing, man, that old plumbing, you just never know what you're going to get into. That's the thing about that when you start a project like that.
So this was like a half-a-day project.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Two trips to the hardware store.
A couple of trips to the hardware
store. Did you put the old copper pipe back, or did you buy flex?
Oh, hell no.
Gooseneck pipe.
Yeah, I definitely went with the flex pipe.
With the flex pipe. I didn't think that old copper was going to...
When I realized how hard and how tight that was to get... I didn't even try to save it at all.
Yeah.
It did come loose. I'll say one thing. It did come loose fairly easy from the valves, from the shutoff valves.
Well, yeah, but you can get to
those. Because you can get to them, plus that's what they... I decided that's what they did a year and a half ago. Rather than taking the faucet loose from the sink, they just took the pipes loose from the shutoff valves, took out sink, copper pipe, and all is what they did.
Set it back down and tied it back onto the little...
Tied it back into the...
Yeah.
Into the shutoff valve.
Yeah, and boy, you really missed the boat then, because then when that sink was out, you could have just put your new valve on that puppy.
That's right.
Out of there, see?
Sure, you could have done it with an open-end wrench.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
would have
sure.
been easy
oh,
to
yeah,
do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you didn't think of it.
No, the new stuff was easy, but yeah, that would have been the time to have done it.
And so so you just developed a leak on top up here? I mean, you couldn't turn the valve off? Just a drip, drip, drip? Or
it was just a drip out of the faucet. Yeah. Was the reason I went ahead and had to change it. And I knew with that old faucet, man, I wasn't even going to try to replace any gaskets.
Well, I tell you, even when they don't leak on their own, if you do, you know, when I did the water to the pavilion, laid all that, you know, 100-something feet of supply line over to the pavilion, and we stopped about 20 feet short of having it finished, and it got down in the mud and everything. So as I was hooking up the final pipe, I said, I ought to flush this line out before I connect it completely.
Yeah.
And I went, nah. I cleaned it out pretty good. Well, I want you to know my brand new Delta shower on-off valve had a piece of trash in it, and so we had to change the cartridge. I could not get it. So I mean, so it's really like putting in two new valves, you know.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. But I mean, I've got all the trash out of it now. But flush those lines.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This new valve that I bought for the sink, man, I really do like this new faucet. This faucet is one of these kind. You know, it looks like an upside-down J. You know how the faucet comes way up and makes a big loop.
Uh-huh.
And what's nice about it is, you know, it's so high
you
from
can
the
put
sink.
Something
man,
under it.
Yeah, you can put things under it. Really nice. I mean, it's great. It really,
well,
that's worth having.
That's a bar sink faucet, though, isn't it?
I don't know. They're using them a lot now on just regular sinks.
Are they?
I decided that it was a good idea, and it is. Man, it makes it so much easier to fill big pictures
under.
Of things. And
yeah.
It's great. And the faucet's really worked out well. Even the hose works good right now. The sprayer hose we were talking about.
And you got two separate, off and on for the hot water and off and on for the cold. You didn't buy one of those faucets where they
combined.
I don't like those.
One. And that was a good choice, I think, with separate handles. And, again, the spout was a fine idea.
But you do have a right and a hot and cold faucet.
That's right. A separate faucet. That's right.
Yeah, we have the all-in-one. That's just what came on the house. But there again, you know, you'd figure in a three-year-old house, I shouldn't have had a leak under my counter.
No.
Under there. But it was leaking at that spray wash hose, and the guy I called our friends at Logan, and he said it was fixed, and he left, and it wasn't fixed, and I said, well, come and disconnect it, and
This is, I don't know what it is. Is American Standard? I don't know what the name of this faucet is. But I mean,
Delta, Price Fixter, and American Standard.
I don't like American Standard, but maybe it'll be all right.
Peerless.
Yeah, hopefully it'll last as long as you need it to last.
I think that's what they put in our house. It's the lesser value.
Well, the only thing is the washers in American Standard stuff are different than washers in anything else you've ever seen.
That's big.
And you'll get into it.
God dang, man. Faucets are expensive.
Yes,
even for the cheap ones now, they are expensive.
But Adney's got those washers. They're little funny-looking dudes. And you'll 6 months from now, you'll have to change one. And you'll say, Phil, I wish I had not. But anyway, I don't like American Standard. We had American Standard valves in our shower. I finally changed the valves. I never could get them to close.
They just start leaking?
Yeah.
Wow.
They just started leaking.
Well, it'll be interesting to see.
We'll see.
Save that spanner wrench, Sean. You'll be back.
Yeah.
You may not have to change that.
But at least things will be loose this time. Not so, man. A lot easier to get off.
Yeah, you won't need to spanner wrench. They're plastic now,
aren't they? I guarantee you they are. That was a project, man. That was a project from hell now.
They're plastic. You won't have to do that again. All right. Well, we've done it again. This is number what?
196.
196.
Yeah.
Streaking toward 200.
Yeah. It's been a long haul.
We're going to have a quorum next week, friends. Everybody's going to be here. Tom Houston included, I hope. Anyway, thank you, Don Shaw.
Oh, yeah.
Patterson?
Oh, yeah.
Come back and see us.
Wouldn't have missed it.
Let's have a glass of wine. Go play with the ID mate.
All right.
I'm Phil Parsi, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.